Oh shit! Episode 466. Lock it down, comedy film nerds.
Coming in hot.
Boom.
Yeah, must not have been on the road for 7 days traveling.
No, I'm actually. Mm-hmm. I'm sore from doing martial arts yesterday, last night, and sure, Jackie is doing it for us. Jackie's more. What style are you doing, Jackie?
It's called Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. Yours felt like it's sort of more rooted in being a semaphore.
I was also saying, where's the bathroom? And flag talk.
And landing a plane. Yeah. She did a fantastic job.
That's the martial arts style robot dance?
Robot dance.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, we're in the future. So what I was going to say was, I've been having some tweaky soreness because... Mm. I have yet to tell my body I'm not 25 yet anymore.
Or maybe the reverse is true. The body has yet to tell you that you're not 25 anymore.
Somehow communication has failed.
Yeah, somewhere.
Well, my brain is like, you're still 25, dude. And my body's like, you're an asshole.
So, you're 25 if you're living in the end of Cocoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember that movie, Cocoon? We're on a movie show.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I referenced a movie. You guys.
Never heard of it. Cocoon? Yeah. Who was in that?
Tom Hanks? What?
So.
That was the other weird sort of mystical water-based
alien invasion
science fiction rom-com that came out in that area. It was Splash and
One of the Mingling Wrinkles.
Yep.
All you got to do is use the pool and break open one of those pods and you're good to go.
Yeah. So my point is I'm looking for one of those youth pool pods so that I can feel better. No.
Shout out to the listeners. Anybody keeping a cocoon pod?
Yeah.
So I was on my...
Hashtag pool pod.
I was on my... I do my live chat for my left-wing political vigilante show on Sundays, and I was saying I'm having some not injured, but just I tweaked my elbow and my knee a little bit, and I was like, you know, I use arnica. I go, does anyone have it? And people keep saying CBD oil, which is derived from. So I was like, all right, finally, I'm going to do it. So last night after class, I went to one of these marijuana stores.
Did your elbow get high?
Yeah. Yeah, so my elbow is like, it's 420 on my elbow, baby. So I got the CBD and I went in there and I was like, I don't want to be high. I don't want to be high. And they're like, oh yeah, CBD, it has a little bit of THC that helps the blood circulation, but you won't feel it. And then I also said, you know, sometimes I have some sleep issues. And Murray Valeriano said he started taking CBD lozenges or whatever the fuck, gummy bears. And so I got some of those. They didn't really help with the sleep, quite honestly. But I got to tell you, I woke up this morning, like my muscles are a little tired, but I'm not like, my elbow feels a lot better. My shoulder feels better. My knee feels better.
Imagine how much better you would feel if you did get high.
Oh my God.
Right? You're just shy of being stoned.
You're doing it wrong, Graham.
I'm sorry. It took every ounce of strength to not walk in there and go, 420 somewhere. Like I just wanted to mock that whole culture. Not that I went on the road opening
and then
up for a guy.
You looked in the mirror and you're like, no, he's going to fucking believe me.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think my credibility got shot when my name was under Doug Benson.
Yeah, that's the amount of weed that's been handed to me after those shows.
Secondary.
I always like hearing you tell a comic the same story where the comic goes, oh man, you must have smoked and bought a lot of weed when you're on tour with Doug. And you always explain, no, it's always freely given.
It's free. Yeah, like... But they give you weed and they're just like, and they would always go, how can you go on the road with Doug and not smoke weed? I go, someone's got to drive the rental car, man. Yeah.
And you can't get large amounts of it on an airplane.
Yeah. Yeah. You just, they're like, God, he must spend so much money. I go, he doesn't spend a nickel on it. It's all given to him.
Yep.
I was given a tangerine size thing of weed once in Hawaii and gave it to the door guy, this big like Samoan bouncer. And he was just like, I go, here you go, friend. And he just said, well, thanks. It was like, I've made so many friends.
Doug Benson's weed money is invested in Apple stock.
What if he just owns?
Yeah,
he's a 30% owner in Apple. Yeah.
He's a controlling share in that and ExxonMobil. Like
he went hard right wing. He was just like, no, I've decided to just buy the earth from the inside out.
Yeah, so
with weed money.
So it's fun though. Check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies. So that, Chris, was my long, meandrical, insane answer.
Nice clock eater. Well played.
Really good clock eater.
Yeah.
We're just chewing the clock. That's why I'm fired up.
Well, I've been experimenting with it as well. I got that CBD oil for one of the same reasons, and I tried it. But it's weird. It's like you got to like spray it under your tongue and do it like a bunch of times during the day. So I did it a couple times. Tasted weird, but I haven't really committed to it yet. So I might.
Are you using it for like soreness or using
soreness and for like same thing like sleep? So. But everyone's saying it's like a cure-all. Like it helps all those things.
Pretty amazing. And
and the same thing. They said, no, this won't get you high because I bought it from the chiropractor. It's like if it has THC, then it has to go through the dispensary if it has any
I THC felt weird because they were like, they're scanning my ID. And I'm like, now the government knows. And I do a left-wing YouTube show.
Oh, they already know. Already. Believe me. Yeah. Like, oh, he's already on the grid.
They've been watching me for a while. Yeah. So when
it's
I talk
like when Dean Haglund sends a tweet, it's already been through.
I've talked to this woman who's an exiled journalist in Moscow. I think they probably got an idea where I'm at.
Yeah,
I got
pretty
an idea.
Much. Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I'm excited and got a lot of energy for episode 466.
Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to do something special today.
What are we going
to
do?
We're going to review a couple of new movies. However, we're going
to... Tell me about these new movies.
We are going to revisit, do a mini spoiler with Jackie, because we missed her last week, of Infinity, the Infinity Gauntlet saga, I should say, because we're actually going to go through the entire thing.
Yeah,
because
I went back to watch Infinity War, and Jackie has, and you know, so we're going to get into that. But first, let's go through a couple of Netflix films.
Yes, let's do it.
Knock Down the House.
Knock Down the House, yes. And I found this movie really interesting. If those of you that don't know, basically it follows, is it
four female candidates that are running against incumbent Democrats in the 2018 primary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a documentary. Yeah.
And
AOC.
AOC is one of them. Yes, she's one.
Sandy. I like the color Sandy.
It's a lot easier, for sure. And I was watching this movie, and I found it interesting. I was always looking at like the side of like, all right, movie making, documentary making, and getting picked up. First of all, it was a ballsy move to make this documentary at all. And the reason is, if all those women lost, no one would have picked up this documentary. Yeah,
they all got wiped out.
There's no machine
crushed them.
There's no story. There's no movie. There's no distributor.
Unless
no
they called it bitches, man. Yeah. We're fucked.
Bitches be cray cray. Yeah. 18. Yeah.
The only place it could have gotten picked up was maybe like on a right wing outlet.
Where they would have cut it somewhere else.
Yeah. So
the corporate Democrats try.
Yeah, exactly. Some weird spin on the
we block Medicare
schedule.
For all too. Yeah.
So I'm watching this movie, and you know, at first on the surface it feels like, all right, well, this is kind of like
spoiler alert. Yeah. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez wins.
Yes,
so you
she
know
wins.
That's
right.
I'm not spoiling that. You know that she won.
Right.
She has now become a phenomenon. She has 4 million Twitter followers.
Yeah, and the other women, they didn't win, but.
It turns out they're still going to run for stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're politicians.
Mm, right.
So and they have decided to go into a life of civil service.
And they really going back to the legalization of recreational marijuana in the state of California, it took several attempts for that to pass.
Oh, for sure. It didn't go on the first try.
So the fact that these like progressive upstarts are like, I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah.
I bet you they're going to have easier time raising money now that this movie's out.
It should definitely help.
I mean, one of the women, I'll get into it, but like one of the women, Amy Valela, I've met her. She's come to a couple of our progressive comedy tour shows. And
where's she out of?
Vegas.
Okay.
Vegas, yeah.
But anyway,
I was going to say, like, as I'm watching this, because I don't, I'm not as, let's say, neck deep in the progressive movement that the way you are, Graham. So I had a more.
You
kind
mean
of
you
a,
didn't go to the Progressive Asian Network for Action Green New Deal Town Hall on Saturday?
Well, I streamed it,
he
but
goes
I didn't
to a
go.
Con.
Yeah.
I literally am going to activist cons.
Yeah they. What's the cosplay like there?
Well, real nice.
Everybody dresses like an activist. Meaning no one has a lot of fancy stuff.
No one dresses like.
No one has money.
No one dresses like the Monopoly Man. Just to like no.
No. Nope.
No, just in satire or anything? No. So I'm watching this movie, and I was thinking, like, this movie...
What's it called again?
It's called Knock Down the House. Okay. Because Bringing Down the House was the Queen Latifah movie, and they didn't want to get that confused, mm-hmm. for sure.
You said that to me on the phone yesterday, and I was like, I'm not going to correct you.
Yeah.
Because I hope he makes that mistake on the show.
Knock Down the House. It's about house music, right?
Yeah. Is that it's the same. Yeah, it's very similar.
The people that made House Party 1 and 2, is that gang?
So I'm watching this movie, and I'm thinking, okay, it's got a... They're following four progressive upstarts that are challenging incumbent Democrats. But I saw kind of a bigger, broader picture in this film. And that is, and I think this is the biggest takeaway that I hope when people watch it, they take this away. Like, put away liberal... Democrat, conservative, Republican, put away those labels and those thought processes when you see this movie, because ultimately the message of this movie that is the most important is that your democracy in this country is broken and getting stolen from you. So that should concern everyone who's an American, and it doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. And that is the most, that's the takeaway that I hope people get from this movie.
Well, that's why this documentary is important, because it shows the Democratic Party, how they play ball.
Oh, yeah.
And how they limit. They didn't. The Democratic Party did not want AOC to win. They didn't want her to win.
No, she didn't earn it.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is all the parties, there's a hierarchy and there's a game to be played. And if you play it right, it becomes your turn.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that's why Hillary was so mad she lost. Well, it was my turn.
It was... She didn't lose.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with the numbers.
Oh, so she got more votes. That's not how things work around here.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, but it's yeah, and if you, the stealing that is, there's overt stealing and there's, it's so weird that they're all
in this
game.
And then there's just a system stacked against you, regardless.
The game as it's played out is so enormously... And I haven't seen the movie. Why am I weighing it? But I'm sure it's great. I should go home and watch it.
Yeah. Because you know what it's about.
I do. I'm familiar with the political process and the process of getting work, which is what these people are. They're just comics who want work, essentially.
Right.
And to do that, you have to hang out. And if you don't hang out and you get work, the other comics are going to be mad. You're just like, oh, look who got work because he knew somebody. Or she, look at the blonde bombshell who gets to work. And you're like, she's also very talented. Doesn't matter. And she's like...
Well, it's a great analogy to show business is like, look, we all know if we hung out more, went to more of certain parties and stuff like that, then the...
And we're more aggressive networking-wise.
Networking and played the Hollywood game that is run by massive corporations.
Yep.
Six multinational conglomerates own all major media. And that's not just Fox and MSNBC. It's Comedy Central. It's...
Right.
Yeah.
You look at who owns... look at, you know... NBC Universal, they're fucking huge, and they own everything.
And they're underneath Comcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know,
then there's Disney.
I mean, Disney. Disney
all of
by
those.
Fox.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and some of them own weapons of mass destruction. Anyway, the point is, you see the machine in this. You see, you know.
And that's the most important thing, and I think that's the most important focus that the movie should have been, and I thought it was. Because as you watch this, you also realize that there's a demonization of regular people running for office, which is absolutely ridiculous. Because, you know, the concerns of regular people, who can address them better than someone that has trouble paying their bills, that has trouble, you know, that had paying back a loan or couldn't get health care for their kid. Yeah. And that's the type of people that you want representing you in government. And again,
because those are all of our problems.
Yes. Those are,
and they're coming from someone real, somewhere real.
60% of Americans
We don't need more old white lawyers representing us.
We don't need rich anybody.
Yeah.
I don't care what your ethnicity is, because the identity politics is a part of the strategy to keep us divided.
Right.
The wealthy, the 1%, they play the identity politics. There's the diversity of the ruling class. They'll say, look, Condoleezza Rice, first black Secretary of State, has an oil tanker named after her. So like the ruling class is very...
Politics aside, that's pretty cool.
That's a horrifying thing I wouldn't ever want. But like, you see the establishment, because let's be real clear about the Democratic Party. Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein take big, big corporate money. So does Chuck Schumer. So do all these people.
Oh, so most of them. Yeah, they do. All
take, you know, the grassroots money that comes, though, from Mitch McConnell is so beautiful. It's so beautiful how he speaks to the people and for the people.
Yes,
and
yes.
Mm-hmm. The thing is if you want to play the game.
Talks about obstructionism.
If you want to play the game, you got to have the money. Now, if everybody in the whole wide world is willing to give Elizabeth Warren $250 a year, and she's not even getting as much money as the mayor of the town, or used to be the mayor of a town in Indiana.
Oh, Pete Buttigieg?
The thing, it's there's no...
Former naval intelligence officer, Pete Buttigieg?
Right. I've seen him on social media all the time, and I've never been able to
who said in interviews, I don't want to focus on policy. Great strategy. Yeah, that won't help people get out of poverty.
Well, that'll, that makes sense. I mean, maybe it's honest. Like, look, I just want to run on personality.
It's and this movie, I think that resonated so much with me was like all of these women who were running had these very personal stories. Yes. One woman's from West Virginia.
Why they were running.
Mm-hmm. She's a coal miner's daughter. West Virginia is like a very, very white state, but it has 50% unemployment. It has an opioid epidemic. It has cancer and all these ailments related to the coal industry. It's got contaminated water. And the coal industry owns both parties in that.
Pretty much.
And,
yeah.
You know, the Democrat senator from there, Joe Manchin, is the most right-wing dude you've ever seen in your life.
He's a Democrat in, like, name only.
But that's so many of them. Yeah. I mean, the Crowley, the guy that ran against AOC, he's big money. He controls this committee in New York's Democratic Party and this one. Right. And AOC was like the thing it was an emotional movie watching for me because she's like, I was working for a non-for-profit and she was bartending two years ago.
And the other thing too, if you watch the footage of these women, I mean, they're terrified. You know, it's like they second guess what they want to do all the time. And it makes them look even braver, to be honest, because it's like their lives get uprooted. They're especially too when you look at like the end result, like with AOC, you just see the tweets, you see like, you know, her hammering back at critics. You don't realize that there's a human being under there. You know, she has fear and she is scared and she, you know, has human emotions just like everyone else. But, you know, the people attacking these people don't want you to realize or understand that. They want you to see them as like, oh, she's just a dumb waitress or a bitch. Right.
Or Dianne Feinstein is a monster. She's just a woman who's dedicated her entire life to trying to do good work. And she's played the game to the best of her ability. And now they're like, yeah, but she's not perfect. Feet of clay. Let's fucking light her on fire. Let's burn her. Let's bury her head first and paint her feet with honey and then...
So I have some different opinions about Dianne Feinstein.
I think there's some really good takeaways from this film, but I think the biggest and best ones are as if everybody kind of, when you're watching it, put the politics aside and realize that your democracy only works when you contribute and are
it's
aware of what's going on.
Yeah. Who said that?
Yeah.
Remember that? Advanced citizenship? That was Aaron Sorkin in The American President.
Right. And it's so important because it's like we're little by little, we're seeing it crumble. But there was also like little side pieces of this documentary that really I found fascinating. Like when AOC was going through the campaign materials.
Oh, man.
And showing that like how old and tired every single thing that an incumbent does because they don't try, they don't care. It's like a campaign from 50 years ago.
He ran on she had policies. She was like ending ICE, up the minimum wage.
I'm going to take on Trump.
That's it?
That's your platform? Like, all right.
That helped in 2016, didn't it?
Yeah.
That worked.
And the reason they haven't changed is because they haven't had to. This is the machine.
Right.
This is what's always worked. Why change?
I wanted the empire to end on a whimper. I did not want us to have to burn it to the ground. No. But that's fine if you want to.
Yeah.
I'm willing to burn it to the ground now. I mean, I get it.
So, and this is, you know, this movie especially and the politics we have right now, it should be a wake-up call to everyone. Like, you know, I'd be even supportive of somebody who's like, look, this is, you know, the Republican Party's a disaster. I'm running as a Republican because I want to start fixing that too.
Right.
Like all of that would get me excited because everyone needs to go.
Here's
everyone, from the ground up. I mean, every entrenched politician, we need term limits and all of these things.
All the corporate money needs to get out of there.
Everyone, the corporations are people now. How do you undo that? How do you undo that? No, no, I'm not even kidding.
It's a
legitimate thing. They are counted as people. So we can't get corporate money out of it because they are individuals.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have the rights of individuals.
And that's the thing that is that why the AOC victory to me is so significant. Because what you're talking about shows you how difficult it is. Because corporations, there has been literally a 4-decade-long corporate coup of this country. They have bought up everything. There is not two parties. There's the ruling. There's two classes. There's the ruling class and everybody else. And AOC talks about can't pay her bills, waiting tables, mom facing foreclosure. I went through foreclosure. I went through that. I got screwed over by both parties. I can't. That's why I went so fuck the two parties and I went so hard left because it's such nonsense. Obama let 10 million foreclosures happen, but his tweets weren't offensive while he set the Middle East on fire with drone strikes. Mm-hmm. So I'm supposed to like, yay, fuck that. Mm-hmm. And she said, makes a great point. AOC makes a great point. She's that when they go to the Capitol, she talks about how her dad told her you be you and you be empowered her. And he died when she was like 19. And she said when she badgered her dad to go on this road trip with his buddies and they went to DC. And when she saw the Capitol, all those buildings for the first time, he said to her, he goes, these are our buildings. Mm-hmm. This is the American people own these buildings.
Yeah.
Not right now, currently Boeing and ExxonMobil and telecoms and
they sponsor them like Disney rides.
Well, the thing I love how she just takes the sheets off of this stuff and we get to see the cogs and the wheels and it's just insane.
And, you know, her victory, it was so interesting to see like the media just go nuts. Like she got a lot of blame and a lot of credit, you know, that was undeserved because of the way our media
works. They're very excited.
Yeah. And
a 29-year-old
she killed the Amazon deal.
Come on.
Really? She killed the Amazon deal? It wasn't even her district. She's the one. Yeah. So
well, you know you're doing something right when she's attacked by both sides.
She is.
So now that's when you know she's doing
something right. You're
doing something
right.
But 6 years from now, she'll be entrenched in that system.
However, hope not.
Well, it's except for the fact is if I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you know there's a difficulty to trying to get anything done unless you're willing to go on a killing spree. Good news is if I go on a killing spree, Lewis will still book me.
Yeah.
Because we're good friends. And so I'll just take a year off and then I'll get a good week. Anyway, so but the thing is there's working within the system to reveal that there's been 1,000 documentaries that tell people how dumb they are and that tell people how they have to rise up. But we all go to these protests for 2 hours, you know? But those four young women, I assume they were all young again,
have not
seen the movie.
No. Three of them are not.
Yeah.
Yeah, three of them are what? How old? What were their ages?
In our age group.
But they are all sort of like moms and
yes,
yeah, they're
for
all
sure.
like Amy Valela, who again I've met her.
AOC was the youngest for sure.
She's the youngest one. But Paula Jean is probably late 30s. The woman whose name I forget out of Missouri, who was from the district that Ferguson was in, she's probably mid to late 40s. Amy Valela is probably around my age, late 40s. So like Amy got in because she her daughter was denied entrance into a hospital because she didn't have the right health insurance and she died.
Okay.
So she's like, Medicare for all. Mm-hmm. I'm going to jam this down your throat.
Right.
Hard. And so what the Democratic establishment did, because Amy's primary was 2 weeks ahead of AOC's, is they put all their money into defeating Amy because they thought, Cortez, we got this. We got her beat. Like, she's nothing. So, yeah,
It worked. Yeah. But then 2 weeks later, Cortez won.
She won.
And that's the thing too, is the thing with Cortez, what's so intriguing, and you're starting to see this in some, is no corporate money, all individual donors. So there's a need. The American people realize whatever side or affiliation they decide to give themselves, most Americans are like, the system ain't right.
No.
It's broken.
Look, I just want to make
everybody
more.
Everybody agrees. Yeah.
Everyone agrees on
and
that.
And whatever story you're telling yourself.
I just
want to
make more
yourself.
Money. I want my kids to go to good schools. I mean, these things, I want health care.
They just want the roads to work. They want the TV to turn on. They want the water to
if
not
If you take
go.
All the politics away, like, everyone kind of wants clean water, clean air, good schools for their kids, and health care and a livable wage.
Look, it was said in that Elvis documentary I watched last month that was like taking this car around for Elvis's car or whatever. One of the things that documentary uncovered is all these people, they went to Tupelo, Mississippi and where he's from, and people there of all ethnicities were like, oh, the American dream's over. The work hard, you'll get ahead. That's done. And we've been sold out by the people in charge who own both parties. And it's like, they're just both like, that's why some people went, I don't agree with this, but I understand why people went, fuck it, I'm going to just vote for Trump, blow it up, set it on fire. He's a lunatic. I don't give a shit.
Right.
Because they're like, we've been screwed over.
Right.
We've been screwed. Everyone's been screwed over. Everyone's
the American
lost.
Dream was the greatest lie that it was ever created in the United States. And it's kept people quiet and plowing along and saving up for a bass boat for 300 years.
And maybe a lunatic outsider will really shake things up. Well, kind of. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, in my personal opinion.
Anybody know where the girl children that are supposed to be in cages are? Have not seen a photo. Only boy children that are being raped. Yeah. So I guess the girl children sold?
Yeah.
Gone?
Probably snatched up. But that's the thing, I think, and what this movie, for me, while I don't like that Trump won and I don't like that he's in power, I think it needed to happen. I think America needed to hit its rock bottom, because if it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Would AOC have won, have decided to run?
No,
she might have been like, nah, we're all right. Mm-hmm. We're good. Everything's good. And then
she might have decided to run because Barack Obama was, he's the Jackie Robinson of presidents, except for I think he would have been a better baseball player than Jackie Robinson was considered a baseball player. Because Obama was better at it than. And because Barack Obama, to be elected, inspired so many people of color to actually actively take part in their own future. Right. And there was hope that they could actually win.
People and waited hours just to vote, you know, at polling places.
They were like, let's. So if he did nothing else, I mean, he wasn't worse than George W. Bush. He wasn't worse than Richard Nixon. He's part of the problem.
Yeah.
And
for
so
sure.
There's no.
Well, you see the way everything is kind of broken, especially with, you know, you have a presidency, but you have an entire congressional body that's really doing, you know, either nothing or
actively
things that
working
don't help
against
you. Or things that don't,
Or if, and Trump has the congressional body. He had for a year, two years, he had the congressional body.
And he has the most
body.
Important part still. I mean, the Senate is where everything dies.
But
well,
even this democratically controlled Congress, though, has said they're going to vote for certain things, and certain members don't.
No.
They just, I mean, like, I can't.
If we get out of this with three branches of the government, I'm not even kidding. I've been saying it for 3 years.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
If we get out of this with a government, with like a
maybe
society.
Maybe we only need two. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have the three branches do like a Hunger Games, and whoever survives, then that's the branches we'll keep.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pulled the teeth. The only thing left to hold him back was the judiciary. And then he's just flooded the judiciary with appointments. And he's got
with help from enablers, for sure.
The Democrats have rubber stamped a lot of his appointees.
Very much so.
Which
and
just like,
proof that the Democrats hate women as well. Because the thing is, I don't know if you know this about my body. Nobody's legislating what hand you two jerk off with.
Nope.
But if I wanted to, I had a friend of mine who wanted to get her tubes tied when she was 19, and there wasn't a doctor in the world who would do it. He's like, you're going to regret it. And that same year, a guy who was 24 sawed his own fucking ear off so that he could put a train around his neck and then end it with a steam engine so that it would take place where his ear was. And then he found a tattoo artist to put a train on his neck. So there's like, guys can mutilate their bodies. Nobody ever says, you're going to regret it. Or if they say it, they go,
if you're going to cut your ear off, somebody should say, you know, you might regret that.
You might regret that. And then they go get a beer.
Yeah.
That's how men talk to other men. When a woman says, I want to do something, they go, oh my God, there has to be legislation. And then they fucking pile on top of her and tie her down and don't let her have her own body. So it's the Democrats do it. The Republicans do it. The independents do it. Fucking hippie dudes who think that they're the most liberal guys of the world think that women aren't people and don't get to choose their own lives. And they can all fucking eat a dick, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't see this movie. Maybe I should see
the movie. I would see the movie because I don't deny any of those things you just said. I would add to it that it's way more, there's that, there's racism, but it's about the people in power, the one percenters, do not want to give up their power in whatever way, shape, or form they got.
And what's empowering about this movie is that you show that you work hard enough, your message resonates, and it can be done. It can be beaten. And that's what scares them the most. It's like, oh my God, she actually did
she
it.
Won.
That means it could happen again.
Look, she was at the freshman orientation live tweeting.
I saw that.
Only lobbyists are speaking to us. Yeah. How come there's no one from labor? How come there's no unions? Mm-hmm. They don't want that. They're like, hey, quiet. Get yourself in order.
I think you guys watch this movie. Like I said, it's got some great takeaways. Put the politics aside, because the biggest takeaway is that
Graham and
the
I
government,
would not like you to leave your politics.
I would say because I would want
Chris
this movie
is the,
to be
is the voice of reason.
Well, and the reason is because I would want everyone to see what we see as far as that transcends any type of political label, is that it is broken, and the only way to fix it is with citizen activism, and that's the only way it's going to get better. No corporation is going to come in and say, you know what, we're going to not spend money on politics anymore because we're good. We'll figure it out on our own. We don't need help from the government deregulating our industry. That will never happen.
Is they know this. There is more of us than there are of them.
Yes.
The Hamptons are not a defensible position. So they know this.
They could be attacked by sea.
Yes. By land. And so they
Who's
know.
Who's got lanterns?
They literally don't want us to get together. They want us divided, red, blue, male, female, black, white. They want that because if we all get together and go, hey, the billionaires, why are there 44 billionaires that have as much wealth as the bottom half of the world?
Well, everything's a distraction. Everything, every kind of outrage, every tweet is a distraction from what's actually happening. So once you dig under and deeper, and that's where everyone
the Yemen
needs
war
to
still
go.
Happened, and there were 67 people that could have just voted to end it, and they didn't. Many of them were Democrats and Republicans, because the war is good for business.
So. I mean, all these things, like, you could check out more. I mean, whatever. You might be able to go on the internet and find more information about some of these things. But one of the problems is, too, is that we're also so polarized on the way we get our news. So, and that's deliberate as well, because it pushes us further away from each other.
It's part of the tactic.
Yeah, it's easily part
of the tactic. It's professional wrestling.
So check out this documentary for sure. But again, I keep stressing this because I think it's important. See it with a nonpartisan eye, because it really digs deep. It doesn't matter if they were all progressives or Democrats or Republicans, because either way, the system works the same. It's broken, and it's owned by corporations, and it needs to change. And the only way to do it is if you run, or you volunteer, or you help somebody. And so do it. We're a movie podcast, but we're advocating change as well. So please get out there and do it.
One of the things we've said on this show before is vote with your dollars.
Yes.
And get involved just on a cinematic level. But like, you're not wrong. I mean, a lot of people jumped into the 2018 midterms because they were like, what? Richard Ojeda in West Virginia, he's an Iraq vet that said, I'm running as a Democrat. I don't like what Trump's doing. I'm tired of these. A vet is saying, why are we doing these interventionist wars?
Right.
Why are we spending all this money? Because that's the other thing. Everyone is like, well, how are we going to pay for Medicare for all? Nobody ever asks how we're going to pay for another war. Mm-hmm. No one's asking, what's the cost of invading Venezuela going to be?
Well, a lot of times I'm getting on more tangents, but those budgets are off the books. They're not necessarily even on the main congressional budgets. But anyway, all right. So I think that was
it's been
healthy
great being
discussion.
On the show, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to.
Now let's get into some more movies.
Now let's talk about Unicorn Store.
Let's talk about Unicorn Store, because you saw this and you love this movie on Netflix. And I kept hearing horrible things about this movie.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? Both can't be right. Let's see what I'm going to watch this movie. It also has Samuel Jackson in it, about a girl who can't can't really find her place or her voice in the world, and Samuel Jackson offers her a unicorn in a magical store. So it's a lot of magical realism, and it always and this is the kind of movie too that I love. I love the type of setup. I love that, like, well, is this real? Is this happening? Is this really in our head? What's it saying about society? What's the satire and the messages here? And I always dig deep in these type of movies, because ultimately that this film or the filmmakers would have a lot to say. They're just doing it in a fantasy way. So I watched this movie and I'm like, okay, yeah, it missed the mark for sure. But I could see as I was watching it, the filmmaker's intentions. Like, I saw, like, what was trying to be done and what was trying to be made and how it was trying to be said. And I can sometimes do that with certain movies. Like, I get, like, what was, you know, what was trying to happen and what we were trying to do. But ultimately, there were too many pieces that kind of fell apart before, during, and after.
It sounds like a very simple movie.
Yeah, it was.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was in a way.
A kid is. So you sound like a monster, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris hates joy.
Yeah,
exactly.
I do.
Someone is given a unicorn doll, mm-hmm. and then it becomes
no,
real.
An actual, a real unicorn.
Oh, an actual. It's Hero Bear.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so
but
okay.
But this kind of movie, like, I think where it fell flat is basically in the scripting. I thought the directing was okay. I mean, Brie Larson's her directorial debut. A lot of times when actors become directors, they focus more on the performances, which is fine. But there were certain things, like the parents. They show the parents as these, you know, hippie kind of emotional counselor type characters that really have no idea what's going on with their daughter. And then further down in the movie, like, they're set up basically as caricatures with, like, no insight and no depth. But then later in the movie, they're calling her on her bullshit and then also calling themselves on their bullshit. I'm like, well, wait, if they were that insightful and that self-aware, that would have come through earlier. Like, I feel like certain parts of the script didn't match other parts of the script. But again, like, I saw the intention there. Like, what was the movie that I think it, oh gosh, the one that almost won an Academy Award. That about the girl who couldn't figure things out and she was in the private school.
Lady Bird.
Thank you. Lady Bird. See, this is why we've done a podcast for 20 years. I say four words, you know, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Now, Lady Bird was a great example of, like, how you kind of set up this disaffected, flawed character, and you saw her kind of go through the journey with her. Like, where Brie Larson just came across as, well, she's not really flawed. She's just lazy. She's just not doing stuff. Then she, like,
I think
gets
this,
a
what did you, I yeah, think this is the dad movie. Of a teenage yeah, girl yeah. speaking right now.
What did you like about the movie, yeah, Graham Elwood?
So I think that didn't work for me.
Because you're both pitching. Now, just treat it like you're both pitching this movie. Yeah. Jackie Cation, I'm in at Unicorn.
Right.
Jackie Cation, yeah. interested mm-hmm. At Unicorn movie. Mm-hmm.
I'm
what
in
did
a
you enjoy?
I enjoyed... I just immediately went along for the ride of there's a sense of fantasy to it. She's going to get an mm-hmm. actual unicorn. She's not just some crazy girl. It's like, hey, grow up. You're 29 or whatever. Like, it's time to put on the big girl pants. Like,
but that's the subtext.
That is the subtext.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually liked that subtext. I like how it was executed in terms of, I thought there was a good balance of the fun of, oh, Samuel Jackson at the actual unicorn store.
Glitter in his hair.
Glitter in his mm-hmm. hair. And the dilemma of, you got to be responsible and grow up, but don't lose the childlike innocence.
Okay.
Like, don't, mm-hmm. I loved that because I've, to me, you know, we're all creatives, right?
Right.
So being told we're all sort of, none of us grew up.
Right. I guess the way
and
I
you
could,
don't want it to be a buzzkill.
The way I
so,
could
and,
sum
and
it up.
And they play that good? Or, yeah. Just, I mean, hey, let me just ask him.
Yeah,
guys already shit on it.
Right. Yeah. Well, so, but they play the fact that she has to grow up, but she shouldn't lose the things that she has joy over. Is that the sort of the premise of the...
Well, they do this... And the reason I liked it was, you know, like, she does this, what I thought was this amazing thing in art school, and the art teacher's like, nope, you know, you didn't, you painted outside the lines. And it's like, to me, I was like, oh, that's the society's structure saying, you have to be this, you have to be that, whatever it is.
Right.
And as an artist, as a woman, as a man, you're supposed to, don't go outside of that. And she was like, no, I want to live in And as someone that has made a bunch of decisions that are non-traditional, that I've even heard even some family members, oh, it's time to get a real job or whatever. Right. Like,
so sad, too bad.
Yeah. So it's like, I, you know, I get to go surfing and take martial art classes and live
Dave
my
Ross
life.
I did a set the other night, a comic, one of the newer guys, right? Mm-hmm. But he's very successful, whatever. He did this premise about how, as much as he loves Los Angeles, everyone who comes to Los Angeles is an asshole. Because they're just like, no, it's not enough. My life is not enough. I want to sing or whatever it is. And they come here and you're just like, they're good people or bad people, but they get to try to do whatever they want to do. And that is, I think it just gives hope for every, I mean, you live in Dubuque, you know, to have a good time.
It's,
you know,
the thing I love about LA is in LA, you, whatever you want to be, mm-hmm. nobody goes, what?
No, nobody does go, what?
No, they're don't.
Like, they're the, oh, the most irritating thing someone will say is, how are you going to monetize that?
Yeah.
Do not ever say that to podcasters, Jackie, in a podcasting studio.
It is pretty brutal.
God damn it.
Oh, I know a guy who can do shirts for you. That's, you know, but I think the sum of this movie, I mean, I really liked the intention. I fell short on the execution for me. That's really the way I kind of felt about it.
Right, but you have that eye, I think, mm-hmm. that makes you see that. So that's
Graham
fun.
Lives in a la-la land down at the beach where he gets to surf on a Tuesday.
Graham's on a long board doing something. Where did you park?
Yeah. Graham has an electric car that he takes his surfboards into yoga class. Because Graham, I live in a unicorn store.
All right, we got to get to we spent a little more time on those films than I thought. Let's get to Avengers.
We're gonna breeze through them. Turns out, no.
Yeah.
And Aaron, if you want, you can. Is he even still here? There he is.
Yeah.
He tuned out.
Feel free to take that my rant out. Knock yourself out. Just feel free to if you need the time.
Well, which one?
The Louis C.K. or the Ida, woman.
I have six here, so I'm not sure which.
It's whatever. It's his decision. Yeah. I don't really care.
All right, roll a six-sided die and take out that one.
Light my career on fire. What do I care? It's,
we'll talk about it. After
I can always
the show.
Move to Florida.
Yeah,
it'll be underwater in 20 years, but
just start doing shows in sinkholes.
Yeah. All right, we'll start writing down time code.
All right.
So, well, let's talk about. Now, first, I guess we should give a disclaimer because we won't normally do this in the middle of a show.
In the middle of a regular episode, we usually do a separate one. But since we already did an Endgame,
you spoiler, already did a spoiler one.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it fun?
It was great. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
With Kevin Avery. We're going to do another mini one here with Jackie. So if you're one of the four people on the face of the earth that hasn't seen it yet.
But still wants to.
But still wants to.
Don't
listen
to this.
You might want to fast forward a little
bit. Fast forward.
And, but here's the thing, is if you're one of the four people that hasn't seen it yet and are never going to,
then you're fine. Who cares?
Stay. Stick around.
You don't care.
That's what a lot of people do, actually. Yeah. Like, well, I listen to the spoilers because I'm never going to see the movie.
Never been a big Marvel guy.
Right.
I hear what they
Both of those those scary movies, Get Out and Us.
I liked Aquaman. Just, you can talk about it. Yeah.
I read all the spoilers for Us because I didn't care. And I was like, I'm never going to see it. I understand it's full of tension.
Yes. Well, that's accurate. Yeah, that is.
That's what scary movies are full of tension. I don't enjoy that.
So
all right. So here we go. Endgame spoiler. Now, haven't seen it a second time.
Okay.
But I did go back and watch Infinity War.
And had you recently seen Civil War?
I haven't. Civil War, I watched maybe 6-7 months ago.
Okay.
But Infinity War, literally haven't seen it since in the theaters a year ago.
Right.
And there was a bunch of scenes I went, oh, that's what was going down in Endgame.
Let me ask you this initial question. Is because you watched Infinity War with Endgame, similar, not necessarily back-to-back, but real close to each other, did it feel like Kill Bill, where it was two chapters of just one movie?
Yes.
It did. Okay.
Because here's, and my theory is that it's a trilogy. Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame.
Okay.
Because it's essentially, it's a story of Iron Man and Captain America's friendship. And they break it in Civil War. At the end of Infinity War, or at the beginning of Infinity War, Iron Man will not call Captain America.
Right.
And Many, many aliens come to come to town, and shit goes down. And then, of course, in Endgame,
many aliens come to town.
And then in Endgame,
that's the one line description of it. When you're on Netflix, many aliens come to town.
And they weren't invited. They were not invited.
Uninvited again.
And much like Ben Franklin, 3 days, get out. Anyway, so but the but then. And then when he gets back, he's so full of guilt. All he does is blame Cap for it when he's reunited, mm-hmm. and Captain Marvel goes and saves him. They shot Endgame before Captain Marvel, so they kept sending her out for coffee. They're like, too powerful. Go get some coffee. And then
we don't know what to do with you.
Right, which
or
is
we
which
know
is
you have
bad.
A strict shooting set schedule, so we need you to go for coffee.
Yeah,
right.
And apparently, you're getting paid by the line, so we're going to minimize your dialogue.
Right. There was. I mean, what should we do? Should we talk about the things that I loved?
Let's start there. Let's start there. The things you love. Now, also walk us through the last week or so. I mean, the first time you saw it, how many Endgames and Infinity Wars and Civil Wars have you seen getting us to today?
So we saw...
And how many other wars have you read? Secret Wars? Any of the other comic book wars going on right now?
I'm reading a lot of comic books right now, you guys. So, and I know that a lot of different people have worn the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. I watched Civil War, then I watched Infinity War, and then I went and saw Endgame. And I went and saw Endgame in my local theater. I like to see it in the local theater with a pile of working class parents and kids because they yell at the screen. The children are excited.
Yep.
It's still full of 45-year-old nerds, and it's fine, but it's also full of children. I get popcorn. I enjoy some good times. And with Endgame, of course, I bought a bottle of water that I tried to wait forever to start drinking. And so
3 hours, you can't just willy-nilly your beverage intake on a three-hour film. You got to know what you're doing.
You got to ration it.
You got to go about an hour before. You got to stop.
Remember Gandhi? It had a break.
Yeah.
So
2001 too. We need to bring back the intermissions.
Seven Samurai had a break. Mm-hmm.
There you go. And saw it again at one of those. You got a couch and a mm-hmm. like a not an arc light. It was something else, but
a recliner seat.
Like a little recliner seat. And I'm like, mm-hmm. what? I didn't come here to nap for $25. I came here to watch a movie. And So I've seen it twice, and I will see it again. But quite honestly, I like Captain Marvel better.
You like it better than Endgame?
Yes.
Give me the order: Infinity War, Endgame, Captain Marvel for you.
Oh God, Captain Marvel, for sure first. Mm-hmm. Andy and I did the Dork Forest. We did a bonus spoiler episode as well, where Andy and I just went through it. And at the end of it, I had printed out all of 22 movies. And here's the most amazing thing about this movie: 22 movies, none of them sucked.
Right.
All of
right.
them were good. Mm-hmm. Some of them were better than others. Some of them I liked more than and so.
A couple were okay. But none of them were like, oh my God.
Nothing was a bomb.
Yeah. Nothing was a bomb. We were like, oh, yeah, I would watch that in a hotel room if it's playing. Mm. What are you, nuts?
On a plane.
And on a plane, all of the things. And so Andy, I forgot to print it. It would have been, because we both came up with our favorite six, of course, not making into account. And there was some overlap, but I can't remember what six they are now. I could do it with the list in front of me because I liked all of them, it turns out. I enjoyed all of them. And the only thing I would say about Endgame is that I need another hour. I would like six one-shots where Captain America returns all the Infinity Stones. That would be fun for me. Because, first of all, he doesn't know his way around Asgard. He's going to wander around going, is Jane Foster in here? I'm looking for Jane Foster. I got to jam an ether thing into her. Red Skull, what are you doing here, Red Skull? How amazing was that?
That was
right?
great. Mm-hmm.
And nobody mentions it. Floating Red Guy is the one reference to the fact that it was the fucking Red Skull and the Soul Stone. And when you return a Soul Stone, do you get your soul back? What's happening, right? So
that may be answered in the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
The Asgardians of the Galaxy?
The Asgardians of the Galaxy,
sure.
Yeah.
It's and Asgard, and it, you know, the I loved... That they the time travel, first of all, they all have time travel now, right? Deadpool has time travel, X-Men has time travel, and now Avengers has time travel. It's annoying. because time travel is what it is. You're just like, all right, fine.
It's an etch-a-sketch.
It's overused.
It's such a convenient we'll rewrite it.
But it was the Dragon Ball Z time travel, which I kind of love, which is you can't change your own past, right? So, giant spoiler, obviously, is Cap doesn't come back. He instead lives his life in what is obviously a time spur where he and Peggy Carter of Agent Carter TV show. I watched both seasons. It was amazing. The fact she has almost no lines makes me want to cut myself. and the fact that he goes back, she still has no lines. She doesn't get a scene. And that's essentially his prize. He got a trophy girlfriend right there because he's a good guy. And you're like, ugh, fuck you. Anyway, just maddening that she gets no lines. Though at one point, you could hear indistinct in the background when he goes back to the 70s and she's in the other room, you could hear her talking about Captain Braddock. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's Captain Britain.
Oh, I missed that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's always, it's always fun to have.
But wasn't that kind of like with the theme of the film though? It's like when you're going, back in time, you want to limit the amount of, it's also a Star Trek kind of thing.
Limit
the amount of interaction and the pollution of the timeline. So the fact
and
that
they
he
all
didn't...
had all these painful regrets.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that didn't bother me that much because I really felt like
she didn't have any lines.
Yeah, and that she was in the background. Just because I think thematically that's what they were trying to do with
the
time
travel. No, I don't
think
he should have. This is a minor thing that was maddening only if I tend to dwell on it because I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
Minor gripe is that he shouldn't have gone back and gotten her. It sort of undoes almost his entire life's work, where he's like, I want to have done my life's work and then also get the prize. And you're like, then there's no sacrifice. Then there's no, but I don't care in the long run, right? And then some people are all sad because Iron Man died. And I was like, that's fine.
But
someone
makes the most sense if anyone was going to die. Like, he started the Marvel Universe. I mean, Iron Man was the first movie. And ultimately, you see, like we were talking about it before, he's in more movies than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Because
the movies are about him.
Yeah,
the movies are about Captain America and Iron Man. Almost always.
So, I mean, I thought, especially with his arc of being like, a selfish, basically warmonger and a weapons...
Rich kid.
Yeah, and a weapons manufacturer, to have that arc and that sacrifice, I thought that was... if you were going to kill anybody, I thought that would be the most resonant for sure. So I was kind of going in thinking, if anybody's going to die, it's probably going to be him and it'll be some kind of noble sacrifice for sure.
Well, and I loved, how like they say Gwyneth Paltrow didn't really... She was like, how many movies? And like she's like, I'm not superhero. And so she had three... scenes, maybe, if I remember correctly. There's the reunited scene, right? Mm-hmm. And there's the I'm going to have to go back in time, which was every one of her scenes was amazing. I loved Gwyneth Paltrow's three scenes. The scene where she tells him that she's like, I've been trying to stop you from doing stuff unsuccessfully my entire life.
Right.
And clearly, we've been very lucky. You should go and try to make this happen for try to get everybody back. And then the third, the death scene, was amazing. And and she was great. Those were three of my favorite scenes.
I love that whole. I love her Pepper Potts. I love their relationship, the arc of their relationship over all these movies. I just love it because she's so in love with him. She's so smart and sharp, and understands who he is. And she's in the fight too. I just was like, man, it was.
Remember Age of Ultron where they have that big party, and neither her or Jane Foster are at the party.
Right.
Andy Ashcraft, my loved one, he has always wanted there to be a one shot where they cut to during that same time of that party, Jane Foster and Pepper Potts are at dinner discussing the use of science and business together, and not mentioning Iron Man or Thor at all. And then if they pull out. The name of the restaurant would be the Bechtel, the Bechtel Cafe or something like that. And I was like, please make that. He's like, I don't know who to
tell. I'll tell you, that's one thing I missed though, those Marvel one shots that they would put on the DVDs and stuff as extras because they were getting better and better.
Were so good.
And the one after
which one was your favorite?
The Iron Man one at the end with the Mandarin.
Oh, yes.
Was really good because the biggest complaint
about Gandhi.
The biggest complaint about the Mandarin was like, all right, well, you made him an actor. He's fake. You basically wasted and you burned a villain. And then this one shot was so cool. Basically, somebody comes in pretending to do an interview with Ben Kingsley, as you know, and his life as the Mandarin and how he was an actor because he's a big celebrity in prison. And you know, the guy that has the video camera. The video camera slows down. A gun pops out of the video camera, and he goes, "Oh no, we're getting you out of here because you're about to meet the real Mandarin." So he breaks him out of prison to have him actually confront the real Mandarin, who he was impersonating.
Did you miss that one?
Oh, yeah.
And the Mandarin's amazing.
Yeah, he's a great villain.
He's got those rings, right? Didn't he have rings? Anyway.
Everyone's got rings or gems or a necklace or some sort of.
Yeah. So I loved that Thanos was dusted last.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, for me, the scene where Thanos dies, I could have just dealt with another shawarma scene and been happy enough with it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to see a lot of anything more than
that. Well, you saw Thanos die multiple times in this movie.
Well, that was a twist I did not see coming.
Right.
But I was glad they did it because it makes sense. The next time Thor sees him, he's going to go for the head.
Right.
And but when he's actually
and
defeated,
because it's PG-13, when someone gets decapitated, there's no blood.
No blood. And
you just hear like a swing.
But weird cursing, like a couple of different swears that I thought was an interesting.
Every wound gets cauterized by the blade.
Yeah, I would have been okay if it, and when I, in rewatching, I may just stop watching it there. I may just go, oh, that's a great ending.
Yeah.
I'm good. And so I love Spider-Man kill mode. Huh? When Spider-Man's being buried by the aliens.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he goes, kill mode. And then all, because remember in Homecoming, he was offered kill mode. Mm-hmm. Was it in Infinity War? No, I think it was in Homecoming. He's offered kill mode. He's like, what kill mode? Why would your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man have kill mode? And then all of a sudden, it's zort, 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 zort.
Yeah,
and it's
when you're fighting alien monsters.
That's when, right, when you're fighting essentially stormtroopers without faces or identities, you totally want to have kill mode. So Loki taking the Tesseract.
I thought that was great because...
To make a time spur.
Well, and to make sure he's alive for his Disney Plus streaming show.
For his TV show. Yeah. You got to love that.
Yeah.
And Nebula and Tony Stark playing paper football.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the reparenting of Nebula was some of my favorite scenes.
That was fun. Mm-hmm.
Just her knowing, you know, just essentially she had five, you know, what was it, 9 more years to grow up. Mm-hmm. And then when it came to her and Gamora, and Gamora's still in the world. And
that was the thing about going back and watching Infinity War. I was like, oh, that's right. She disappeared then. And because that was the thing at the end of Endgame. I was like, where's Gamora?
Yeah.
Where is she?
You can't come back from the Soul Stone because if you hadn't gotten the Soul Stone, the snap and all that wouldn't happen. So that sacrifice is permanent.
But 2014 Gamora is in our universe.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now it's just Peter Quill kind of re-swoons, like...
Right, he has to read. So that talker is just like, it was him or a tree. It was him or a tree.
This was the love of my life, man. It was him or a tree.
But where they did drop the ball, and these are 1,000 tiny problems, right?
Right?
What about the little girl? The scene where Thanos and the little girl in Infinity War... where's the closure on that? We get no closure on the Red Skull. We get no closure in the Soul Stone where, you know, when it's over, after he snaps at the end of Infinity War, he has that what did it cost? It cost everything, thing. And what did that mean? You know? Gamora as a little girl?
Yeah, young Gamora?
Yeah.
Yeah, I took that at the end of Infinity War of, well, because Gamora's dead, so that's what he...
Right, I thought that I thought the Soul Stone was going to be a bigger deal. The Soul Stone, it's such a weird definition of love that it's kind of fucked.
It is.
And Gamora's and Andy made this point, is that Gamora's the only one throughout the entire series who is always right.
Yeah.
She is always smart, and she is always right.
Always makes the right play.
Always makes the right...
When she's changed her mind, it's the right for the right reasons.
Right.
It's,
she's the smartest kid in the room, right? And and so when in Infinity War he's going to throw her over, and she laughs because, well, this isn't love. So, and then in Endgame, they changed the wording. It isn't love. It's just a sacrifice.
Hmm.
So what? He could have brought anybody. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think my interpretation of this is
had
like,
to be the only one that he actually loved and he was sacrificing.
But that he didn't love her.
The Soul Stone is going to be integral to Guardians 3. I don't know. That's what I was thinking. And,
well, they got
to
fight Adam Warlock, right? Mm-hmm. Remember Adam Warlock from the
They
end
were
of,
making him.
Right. So he's going to pop out of the... He's going to pop out of the cocoon. Mm-hmm. Well, and Andy's theory is that they raise him like Raising Arizona. But
that'd be great.
It would be great. And
you don't cut yourself, Mordecai. I could quote that movie all day.
And
oh,
then,
did you get his dip tat?
But it's also Search for Gamora, obviously. Mm. Yeah. The Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Is it it's Search for Gamora, but then... Also, if I get to watch those two fall in love again, I'm down. That's my favorite
really
love
fun.
Story in the history
yeah.
of movies. That yeah. the Postman, not the Kevin Costner, but the Italian movie.
Il Postino.
Cinema Paradiso.
That's
I love Cinema
again,
Paradiso.
Again, after you said the Postman, boom.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's like, and because if I get... Even if they just use the same line again, when he first is like trying to dance with her and she's like, I'm not going to fall for your pelvic sorcery. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite lines in all the movies. Pelvic sorcery.
So how great was Doctor Strange and the Hulk? I mean, except for that it was the Ancient One and Doctor Hulk. That was such a great scene. And because Doctor Strange is one of my favorite of the movies. Mm-hmm. Which...
I thought it was a great setup. It was like, where's Doctor Strange? Well, he's performing surgery. You're 5 years too early.
Yeah. I love that timeline shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Nailed it too. And because my favorite line in Doctor Strange, of course, is after when she is dying and he's standing there as ghosts, essentially, right? And and he's whining about something and she goes, it's not about you. When are you going to read it? It's my favorite line in all of Doctor Strange. So that was cool. And also I enjoyed Hulk's description of the timeline and how it could be corrected. And
that was great.
That helped.
That
it
was
helped.
Great.
Because if you're going to do time travel, somebody define it.
You bet.
Right.
And why not?
What are the rules?
Spell
here?
It out with some nice CG graphics.
Right. And unnecessary to keep referencing. It was vaguely irritating, the old movies that they were referencing with the Back to the Future and the Indiana Jones. And I was like, no, I get it. We've all seen the movies. Okay. So I liked Cap wielding the hammer.
Yeah, I love that.
Right, right.
That was amazing. Would have been, I think, and it was a callback, so I see why they did it, but it would have been kind of awesome as if Falcon would have done it. Because the thing is if you look at this character of Sam Wilson, that guy has not made, there's not a dark part of his soul. He started out as the PTSD counselor, right, in the beginning. He's always had Cap's back. And he's never made a bad... that guy, and that's why he gives him the shield at the end, he doesn't need the shield. He's got his wings that he can shield with, and he can stab, stab, stab with. He doesn't need your fucking shield. Why don't you...
Well, who became Captain America first? Bucky
Winter Soldier.
He became Captain America first, and then it was
then Falcon, it was Falcon.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, and in between it was that Roscoe guy for like a heartbeat. Did you read that?
No,
because when they go back to the 70s, Cap's army uniform says Roscoe on it, which is a guy that was a captain. He carried the shield for a while. He was Captain America in the comics for a heartbeat.
All right,
and that was it. I mean, and then Hawkeye and Black Widow on Vormir was amazing. It was so hilarious and smart and funny. Mm-hmm. And who sent them there? Did they know? I mean, Nebula kind of knew. I mean, or they all knew that Thanos went with Nebula and then only one of them
came back without her, yeah.
Yeah, so you're like, what? You know, so you had to know that something had to happen to get this. And but that was incredibly well done. The Clint thing, him going off and becoming Ronin was weird to me. And somebody in Black Twitter said this, which I thought was kind of interesting. He couldn't stop off at a white supremacist rally. He's just got to kill brown people and Asians. And there was no reason. But Andy said this thing, too, is that if he would have killed white criminals, he would have been irredeemable.
Well, you know, you can't name yourself Ronin without killing some Yakuza. I mean,
but he didn't name. But they never called him Ronan.
Right.
They called him that in the credits, but they never called him that in the movie. So now, it would have been nice if he would have punched a Nazi. Is
well,
all I'm saying.
You know, I'm sure in the comics that's happened.
I don't know. He's no Jack Reacher. I'm a huge fan of the fact that Jack Reacher doesn't have any problem murdering pedophiles and white supremacists.
He really shouldn't.
Nobody should.
You know, as a...
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
So I wanted Black Widow and Captain... And here's my... The tiny disappointments is the Hawkeye couldn't kill a white supremacist, Black Widow.
All right. That's definitely one we haven't heard yet, but it's valid nonetheless.
Sure, what the heck? That would have been... I would have been all right with that. Right. I would have cheered. Mm-hmm. Black Widow and Captain Marvel couldn't have one conversation. They did have one conversation, but like you said,
to be fair, Captain Marvel barely had conversations with anyone. I mean, right, she was really underwritten.
She was completely underwritten, but there was one scene. It's the Russo brothers, right? So, or whoever wrote it, and it's all being written. And this is not to take for, I thoroughly enjoyed it, right? And this is just something I would like them to do in the future. If your comic book movie is written, directed by two of the straightest white guys in the whole wide world, if it's all just straight 55-year-old white guys, that's great. They're gonna play to everybody's, they're gonna pander to everybody, right? How about you get a black person to do a quick read through? Or you get a woman to do a quick read through and you find out that maybe that either doesn't work, or you could add just another line and that might be something for you. Could throw somebody a bone. They threw us an A-Force bone.
Yeah.
And that was,
I think even another 55-year-old white guy could have added a couple lines for Captain Marvel.
Yeah. It's the right 55-year-old.
Just somebody that
anybody
is aware
just,
that...
Just from the number, the volume alone, there should have been a few more.
Right, but it was... But I understand that there's 35... There's the biggest double splash page in the world.
Yes.
Where they all come out of the portals.
Oh, you can't even see her. Like, I want to re-see the movie.
Howard the Duck was supposedly in there.
Yeah. I want to re-see this movie on IMAX just specifically for that scene, so I could. All right, what? And
I wish I could
3D IMAX.
I wish I could freeze it. On
and I was
going
to say, yeah,
I wish I could go to that scene and go freeze, yep.
And
then
go to
count
the projectionist
them.
And like, look, just pretend there's something wrong and just stop it for 60 seconds.
And so there was some blowback about how Captain Marvel was too powerful. That's why they weren't using her. And you're like, no, she could have been. You've never read a Superman comic book? Get it together.
No, there's always a weakness in a hero,
and there's a way. And now,
you know, doesn't
MCU,
her energy light start blinking on her chest, and then she has to go back into space
and reload her son?
Yes.
She got all of her power from the Tesseract, of course, right? So, which is amazing. But the crazy thing is so when MCU and X-Men finally join, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be in the comics, Rogue siphons off permanently some of her power.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
siphons off Captain Marvel's power.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because normally
she's still enormously powerful. Right. Usually it's not permanent.
Right.
Right. But it turns out if she almost kills you, she keeps some of that power.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So.
A little retcon on Rogue.
I got to tell you, in a way, if that's the only way is to sort of temporarily take her power, I'm kind of okay with that. Because
I'm okay with that.
That's always the flaw of Superman. He can do anything. App, I found this green rock. Wharp, wharp. Like, you know, that was always the, like, you, that's, so it's always, someone's got to figure out how to get kryptonite and then, boom,
yeah.
And then,
or, you know, take the powers away. I mean, same thing with Wolverine. It's, you know, like, well, you can heal anything and you're super strong and you've got blades for hands. So, you know, we have to figure out ways around that.
Right. Right. I would have liked a funeral for Black Widow. I would have liked some sort of reference to Vision besides a Riverside. He's a good guy, wouldn't he?
Well, WandaVision's coming. Yeah, I think WandaVision, there's definitely going to be some resurrection of Vision for sure, because that's another.
It's
Disney
like
show.
Axel, the robot murder dog. he's back. Yeah. She's back. He's backed up on the dark web.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, here's my prediction.
He's coming back. He's got ketamine and child brides for us.
Thank God. We're bringing back the Axel franchise, the Axel cinematic universe.
I don't know if this is for sure, but.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. low license fee.
Easy peasy.
Really, you know, low license fee. They might have slid Netflix a couple of bucks. Yeah.
We'll use it for promotion. When you look at like the movies coming out next is the Black Widow movie's coming out. But since she died in Infinity War. However, here's my theory. We'll see if this happens. Is it will be a prequel movie.
Yeah.
However, there will be some footage towards the end that shows a possible return of her into the
Right. You can't
Marvel
kill
universe.
These people. It yeah. turns out mm-hmm. they are superheroes. They yeah. will not die.
There's always a
the
way
Namor
for superhero
reference?
To come back.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the Namor reference
yes.
with Okoye? Mm-hmm. Because there was a big earthquake. Remember the earthquake under the ocean?
Right.
And
yeah.
Okoye says, the way we deal with it is we don't deal with it. Mm-hmm. And I fucking love Okoye. Mm-hmm. But that's Namor, which opens up my idea. That they buried Killmonger at sea. Namor found him, and he's going to bring him back to life.
It's possible.
Who doesn't yeah. want Michael B. Jordan back in their lives, except yeah. for the people that he kills?
Yeah,
because his name is Killmonger. So the Namor teaser from Okoye. Universal still owns Namor and Hulk.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's why there can't be standalone Namor or Hulk right now. Mm-hmm. I looked into that. And then Morgan Stewart Stark, of course, is the name of Tony Stark's and Pepper's kid. That was Tony Stark's uncle in the comics, who was actually a villain. Mm-hmm. But she's going to be the same age as Stature. I mean, she's going to be a teenager in a couple of years, and maybe her and Stature can do Young Avengers. Stature is Cassie Lang, which is Ant-Man's daughter.
Okay.
And Black Widow had ballet slippers in her office. Did you see that? So it's a reference to the Red Room. Remember the? So that's what I think. I think
she
the Black
was being
Widow
trained in.
Yeah,
in
the
Russia.
Soviet. Yeah. yeah. So I think that the prequel is going to be Red Room, though they reference Budapest again. So it could just be the Budapest.
That's like that MacGuffin that you'll never actually hear.
Yeah,
about,
that they
I
might
think.
Have just.
Yeah.
So Professor Hulk, right? So he's the Hulk and he's also Bruce Banner together. So he's mm-hmm. Smarty Magoo Hulk. Mm-hmm. Turns out I had to look this up. He can be Bruce Banner. He just doesn't want to. He mm-hmm. likes being giant Hulk guy,
right.
but smart. So,
wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean,
wouldn't we all?
If mm-hmm. I could be giant, but not monster Graham, why yeah, would yeah. I want need to be regular comedian size Graham? Mm-hmm. When
exactly.
I could just walk through a wall politely.
Yeah. So in Civil War, remember in Civil War where Tony and Howard meet and Tony Stark and his dad, he does that hologram thing. The last, essentially right before they're killed, and what he would have wanted to say, he actually says that to his dad in Endgame.
Oh,
in the
okay.
70s. He says, mm-hmm. I know my dad did the best he could. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of cool. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And then
that was great.
Jarvis, played by the guy from Agent Carter.
Yes.
First time a TV character made right. it into the Moomies.
Really?
So,
old man Stark's driver.
I mean, you could actually count Agent Carter.
No, but she was first in First Avenger.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. This is the first time that it went that way.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So how can I, you're taking all the stupid with you. That's a line from First Avenger as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what Cap says to Bucky when he goes off to war, and it's what Bucky says to Cap when he goes off to return the Infinity
right.
Stones.
And he knows that he's not coming back. Bucky knew.
Does he?
Yeah, I think he did, for sure. That's why he kind of says goodbye when he's on the portal, and then he tells Falcon to go talk to the old
Bucky's
man.
Bucky's so tormented. He's always yeah. been okay with dying.
I don't yeah. understand. Bucky didn't do any time jumping, right?
No, he was snapped.
Oh, that's right. He was snapped. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. He was dusted. So. Okay, so.
All right, when are you going to do? Maybe we got to start wrapping up.
Ooh. Well, what about the new Spider-Man? Did you see the Mysterio Spider-Man trailer?
No, but we could watch it today.
You should watch it today because it's Mysterio.
All right, we'll save it.
All right.
We're going to watch it later.
All right.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. So we'll do. That means I'll. Okay. We will do the Spider-Man trailer and Crawl will
Got
be the
it.
Two trailers. So, all right. Closing thoughts on Endgame?
And then you should go see it, unless
right.
you don't want to.
Fair enough, and see it for the second time. I'm going to go see. I really want to see it the second time on IMAX to see.
You should do IMAX 3D.
I see 3D in 3 hours is headache territory.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's my only issue with it.
Yes.
Don't do 4D.
Oh, that's with the chair?
Yeah, what's with the rolling?
It rumbles.
I accidentally, and we thought we bought IMAX 3D for Black Panther. We bought IMAX 4D. And
it's, the chair rumbles, right?
The chair rumbles. The purple flower smells like bullshit. It's a terrible idea. There's water that spit on you.
Oh,
you're like,
God.
I'm trying
Stop
to watch
it.
A movie.
Why would I need that?
Sounds awful.
It was terrible.
You know, it's great in a theme park for 8 minutes, but I don't think I'd watch it for three hours.
Yeah. 8 minutes, yes. Yeah. 3 hours, no.
Nope.
So, all right. Wow. Long movie discussion this week.
You guys are getting a little bonus. It's sort of a regular and a spoiler all wrapped into one giant tesseract. Yes.
That's from the movie.
Nice.
So we've got some Patreon sponsors now that we are into May. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Rulon is back.
Johnny Rulon. Yep,
with his novel Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's available on Amazon in digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel, which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and immortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com. Fanboy Planet, a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing. Check out Fanboy Planet for your comics news and your movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with industry insiders and artists. Fanboyplanet.com. And from Chris Parker Howard, Coffee Over Suicide, a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday, wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com, coffeeoversuicide.com. And Alice Frazier, co-host of The Bugle podcast, host of Tea with Alice, brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. The shows were recorded back-to-back as a three-hour show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in April of 2018 with a binaural microphone, which creates an intensely immersive listening experience. AliceFrazier.com. Check out AliceFrazier.com with an S. And last but not least, Rebecca Evans, The Art Podcast. We move past hesitation, we're true to ourselves, we find our own art in life. New episode with comic, author, and musician Greg Barron is now available. TheArtPodcasts.com with an S. All right. Let's get to these trailers, Graham.
Let's do it, buddy.
We had a trailer request from a guest. Let's do the Spider-Man, the new Far From Home trailer with a healthy dose of Mysterio.
So this is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, Far From Home. Mm-hmm. Trailer 2, maybe? Is that
we're
about
to? No, it's the first. It might be.
Trailer 2.
Yeah.
It is trailer 2. Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man Far From Home, trailer 2.
Yes.
Have you got to see it, Aaron?
Okay. What is this?
Oh, this is some weird.
It is what?
I wanted this.
Terrible haircut on that guy. Look at that.
Spider-Man, here we go.
The Spider-Man Far From Home trailer is about to play, but if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame yet, stop watching, because there's some serious spoilers about to come up. But if you have seen Avengers Endgame, enjoy the trailer.
Like there's a disclaimer on
everywhere
the trailer.
Everywhere I go, I see his face.
Is it really a spoiler if you made the movie, we know you came back?
I don't think Tony would have done
he's
what
talking
he
about
did
what's his name.
If he didn't know that you were going to be here after he was gone.
It's all random. The kill mode.
You gonna be the next Iron Man now?
Well, no, I don't have time. I'm too busy doing your jobs.
What?
I'm kidding. Look, keep up the good work.
Because I am going on vacation.
Heads up.
Nick Fury's calling you.
I don't really want to talk to Nick
Fury.
Answer
the phone.
Why?
Because if you don't talk to him, then I have to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him. You sent Nick Fury to voicemail?
I gotta go.
You do not ghost Nick Fury.
What up, dorks?
What's up? We're just talking about the trip.
I'm here in St. Marco Polo's.
Oh, I think MJ really likes me.
That reminds me of when I first fell in love.
You're a very difficult person to contact, Spider-Man. This is Mr. Beck.
The dark.
We could have used someone like you on my world.
Your world?
Beck is from Earth, just not ours. The snap to our hole in our
Mysterious
dimension.
Parallel Earth.
You're saying there's a multiverse?
We have a job to do.
I can't remember the name of these, the elements. There's Hydro Man.
There's gotta be something else you can use.
What about Thor?
Off world.
Captain Marvel.
Unavailable.
I'm glad Adrian Hill's back.
Spider-Man.
Bitch, please, you've been to space.
What do you want, Peter? I want to go back on my trip with the girl who I really like and tell her how I feel.
MJ.
I
am Spider-Man.
No, of course I'm not.
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
You're right, you may not be ready, but this is my responsibility.
Saving the world requires sacrifice. Sometimes people die.
Oh my God.
I just always feel like I'm putting my friends in danger.
The world needs the next Iron Man.
Are you going to step up or not?
flashback?
Ooh, got it. Or some
get
like.
Get out of here! Get on the jet!
Who are you?
I work with Spider-Man.
You work for Spider-Man?
I work with Spider-Man, not for Spider-Man. New plan.
Yay.
I mean, you know, keep in mind, that's the director of Iron Man. You know,
right,
you,
right.
You forget.
Yeah, who plays Happy?
Yeah. And so it looks great, but here's what the internet chatter that I was seeing is like, oh we're going to get all, you know, multiverse and, you know, other worlds.
Well, because they mentioned the Spider-Verse because there might be a live.
Right.
Yeah.
And but here's the thing. It's Mysterio. He might be lying about being from another Earth.
It turns out.
Yeah.
Mysterio, it turns out.
You're still playing. Still video playing. Well, maybe you should stop playing.
Follow up, a Twilight Zone.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. So Mysterio might be lying.
Yes.
Because, and I did not know this, because turns out there are gaps in my long box education.
What?
But he is an illusionist from Hollywood.
Yes, he's a special effects artist. And everything that he does when he's like playing like a fighting a villain or something, everything is staged to make him look like he's like this big
hero.
So
is he really a hero?
Yeah, this might all be an illusion.
It might just be an illusion. He might not be a good guy.
I tell you what we're going to see. My guess. We're going to see Tony Stark either in a flashback and or some sort of pre-recorded, you know, my son, Jorah.
Oh.
You know, that type of thing. We're going to see one of those.
I left one last set of
good
spider
call.
Armor for you.
Yes. Oh, that is actually...
To use in your deepest hour of need.
Yeah. If you're watching this, I'm already dead. You know, like, it's coming.
I love you 3,000.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's... We're going to see that.
But you know, somebody said this, and I have not double-checked it, that all the minutes of the 22 movies, 3,000 minutes. All 22 minutes. All 22 movies added up together were 3,000 minutes. I don't know.
How many days is that?
I don't know.
All right.
Diapers would I need to watch that?
A lot of movies, a lot of minutes.
It's just put a TV in the bathroom.
All right, let's check out the let's check out the next one, Crawl.
Crawl.
All right, this is going to be great.
Now, I got to tell you, Crawl is one of those like horror movie premises that you go, oh, why hasn't anyone done this before? This
is
like so ridiculous that I can't believe this hasn't been done yet.
And yet
they
have not.
Somebody finally did it.
And but did you and they both check the IP on that?
Well,
that has not yet been done?
Universal must have.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Paramount, rather.
Trailer.
Yeah.
Paramount Pictures. Trailer. Is it going to be?
That'll be that scary.
The state of Florida has issued a category.
First of all, already horrible. Hurricane in Florida. Already horrific.
Oh, so it's a documentary.
Immediately.
And no one's going to go.
No, they're going to stay.
Families, your loved ones, and get out.
Or they'll get stuck.
Dad!
And they'll be really attractive.
We won't be able to come for you.
Dad!
The governor said we won't be able to come for you in a creepy voice.
Gators.
Oh, gators done got you.
Yep. Hurricanes and gators.
Oh.
I'm fine.
I'm tourniqueting.
Hello, can anybody hear me? I'm trapped with my father in a house in Coral Lake.
Coral Lake. Please,
basically, this is Sharknado, but with a hurricane and alligators.
Oh, love it. Gee, I wonder if someone's going to jump up and eat
Oh, my God, I did not.
That's
did not
fantastic,
see that
Jackie.
Dude, well,
Sam Raimi.
Oh, well, now.
Oh, now I really want to see
him
this.
For you.
I'll distract him for you.
You got this!
Now, but how do you fight those gators on their own turf?
Wow, they're big. You don't just want...
You need to go now.
I'm not leaving you here.
Oh, no. I thought they were going to come for them. Wait, is this trailer still going on?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's still happening. By the way, there's bad gators, and they're coming for you.
Yes. And we don't know how many, but they've gotten a taste for human flesh.
Come
now
on.
Come on. Yeah. You messed with
cursing.
The wrong person.
which is a weird title crawl because all the gators are swimming.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, is it better than swim?
It is better than swim. Crawl implies.
I was so
something
wondering as I was watching that, what version of "Come and get it"? Are we going to hear "You mess with the wrong"?
Yeah.
Will she scream "No" at the sky? You know, will there be a Wolverine like "No" at the sky?
Just some like "Curse you, nature"?
Yeah. Is there going to be a gator puns? Is there going to be a "See you later"?
Somebody's going to say, "I'm going to make a handbag out of you."
Yeah.
Something, right. It's got to be there somewhere.
Right.
You should have been boots. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember the end of Romancing the Stone when Michael Douglas comes back and he's wearing alligator boots?
Yeah.
No? Mm-hmm. Anything? Anyway?
Yeah.
I'm 107.
So, all right. And we have on DVD and Blu-ray the Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Did you see the Lego Movie 2?
I saw
the first one.
Yeah. I loved the first one. Yeah, I didn't. I never got around to seeing the second one.
No, I think that was a fair amount of America. Because I saw the same thing. Whole family saw the first one. Everyone was like, yeah, we can see the second one. But no one was ready to rush out and see it. But, I mean, we'll see it on streaming or whatever.
So all of America went.
Yeah, it's like, I like the first one, but I don't know if I need another one. Yeah.
Right, what was the other Blu-ray?
And What Men Want. Ugh. Also, another movie went, I don't think we need this either.
Why would you remake?
Yeah.
Did you guys see, have you heard of the Seth Rogen... Secretary of State, Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that it's actually quite good.
Heard the same thing, yeah.
Which, when I was full of rage, full of crazy lady rage, because I was like, did he just buy himself a trophy movie? I was like, because I think Seth Rogen is funny and likable, and Charlize Theron is a good-looking specimen of humanity.
What's that movie called, Aaron? The Long Shot.
The Long Shot.
That's it.
But I heard actually that it was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was on the fence. I almost saw it this weekend because I was like, there were some parts of the trailer when we watched it on the show like a couple weeks ago. I was like, this could be funny.
Yeah, I heard it was smart. I heard it was smarter than the trailers made it look.
They cannot cut a comedy trailer to save their lives.
Without it looking really
dumb. They ruin.
Everything looks like.
Is Paul that Blart what's happening? Mall, you were correct.
Everything looks like, how did I not know this? Yeah, everything looks like Paul Blart Mail, Mall Cop.
Yeah.
Every trailer is cut that way.
The genius that is Mall Cop.
Yeah.
I think they captured it in the trailer, which was why I never saw it.
Like, put the dumbest, broadest jokes in the trailer, make sure somebody falls down,
and then put
goofy music, and then have a possible meet cute that is funny.
Done. And a swear word that they cut out of, you son of a...
Yeah, and then...
Only the good guy young.
So the next movie is one I really, really want to see on Blu-ray that I missed in the theater is They Shall Not Grow Old. That's the documentary Jackson did, took old World War I footage and colorized it and also in the theaters made it 3D.
I watched this film and it is such a powerful piece of filmmaking in two ways. One, Peter Jackson's alien technology lab.
Right. He's got,
creating old... black and white footage that was hand cranked, so everybody walks weird, slows it down, colorizes it, makes it so personal.
And adds sound, too.
Adds sound. And he did.
From lip reading? What did
Yes. Exactly.
Jackie, he went, you got to see this movie. He went and researched. So there's this one scene where there's a guy, there's a bunch of doughboys ready to go. Yeah. I guess that was the US, but whatever. The soldiers ready to go. And there's a guy reading something. So they went in, looked at the insignias on the uniforms and went, oh, they're this unit, this regiment, this is this date and time. He's probably found the letter the guy was reading, had a voiceover actor from the part of England where that person was from and read it. And you're just like, only that crazy motherfucker, Peter Jackson.
Two words, disposable income.
Yeah. He doesn't have a side gig.
Yeah.
So, wow. What's it called?
They Shall Not Grow Old. And then the other thing he does, because we read this when we researched the film, you know, he's a World War I history buff, right? So he's watched all of these World War I docs.
Yeah.
And a lot of docs.
Oh.
And one of the things, I saw it in the theater, so there was one of those mini interviews on camera with it afterwards.
Oh, neat.
That they do at ArcLight. And I think it was following this anywhere this movie was playing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he did too was he found interview footage on the BBC from World War I vets that was in like the 60s. And they're the only ones talking. There's no historians. There's no politicians. So all you're hearing is, you know, we were in the trenches and it'd be rats eating the dead bodies, but we were so scared from the war. And you're just like, and then they're showing this footage that mm-hmm. he's enhanced and slowed down.
Yeah, yeah.
And it shows you, because it's, I don't, you know, we obviously don't study it enough in this country anymore. We study World War II and whatever, but man, was it an awful war.
Right.
It was horrifying.
And it was trench warfare too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, awful trench warfare. And what they had to go through, it was just, it's a movie like.
There's a series of boys books that I read when I was in junior high. And this guy, he glorified the Civil War, which was almost impossible in 1906. But he also wrote a series of four books about two to four books, I can't remember, about World War I. And he had to stop. I think he couldn't figure out a way to sort of glorify war in it. Because it was, I mean, and the Civil War was foul.
Yes.
And he, I think he was a Civil War
All
veteran.
All wars are foul.
Yes. And the Joseph A. Altshuler was his name. And there was the Civil War series. There was eight of them. It's about two cousins from Kentucky. One fights for the South, one fights for the North. I don't know if you, anyway. But I have them all on my phone. Because I read them in junior high. I genuinely love them.
Yes, this movie, They Shall Not Grow Old. And if you didn't get to see it in the theater, and you're watching it at home, this is one of those movies. It's not just some doc you kind of have on. Turn the lights off. Turn your phone off.
How long is it?
It's
a couple hours.
2 hours, yeah. Two-ish. Mm-hmm. And watch the whole thing. And if it has the interview footage with Peter Jackson.
As extras? I'm sure it does.
It's got to. Yeah. Watch that. Because mm-hmm. it'll make your jaw drop even more on what he did, how the research and everything. It's fantastic. And it's like, it is such a great, for me, it was a great anti-war movie.
Completely snubbed at the Oscars too.
Oh, I man, mean, it made like, me so
really?
Mad.
Yeah, not yeah. best documentary, but also best visual effects too. Like he did stuff that's never been done before.
Never been done.
Where he reinvented the damn wheel for the sound of it.
Again.
Yeah.
Again.
And, yeah, again. And nothing. And it's like, what? Really? If any movie should have been nominated, it was this movie. Right. So. Anyway, in the site spotlight and the fan feedback, you guys have been really great about interacting with us, especially on Facebook and Twitter. And also, if you have one of the things that's come up, I wanted to mention this to you guys. Some of you like that we're doing trailers during the podcast, and some of you don't. So let us know if you want us to keep that feature in the show or not, because you seem a little split. So if you want to tweet at us or if you want to email us at info@comedyfilmnerds.com, because I want to make this make sure you guys know that we're always open to what you guys like, what you don't like. And, you know, it's
and stopping it, to do another yeah, 20 minutes hey, or something. You're like, that's great.
Hey, it's a podcast. We can change it anytime we want.
Yeah. And know that if we do change it, half of you are going to be mad.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So let us know.
And so we're trying to get the ratio
did you see,
right.
I just joined in
if
right there,
90% of you want to change, then then yeah. we know. Oh, it might be there. Well, we can handle the 10% that might be upset. So let us know. And also on the message boards, please continue to use those. Those are great. And also the store, we've got a lot of great stuff still there. If you haven't bought a earbuds, we have a digital and on DVD. And also the DVD, if you want to buy that, if you still buy DVDs, it's on Amazon now and it'll be available for Amazon Prime, so you can get it in like a day or two.
Is Horcrux still up?
Horcrux digital is still up on
that's right.
Comedy
you want to stream this will make an excellent Horcrux. It has my soul in it. Knock yourselves out, people.
Digital get yourself
digital
a
download still on the CFN site.
Digital Horcrux.
And
I just wanted to put those two words together.
They're good ones.
It's pretty cool. So I'm premiering this week. We have Jackie, would you say Tolkien or Tolkien?
I say Tolkien.
Yes, so do I. But the trailer is saying Tolkien.
Do they?
Yeah, but I don't care. You know who else probably doesn't care? J.R.R. Tolkien.
No, he's dead now.
Yeah.
So and his son is like, check's still clearing? Let's do it.
Doesn't matter. So now this is the kind of movie I saw the trailer again. I really feel like it could go either way. It could be this really insightful, poignant look into the writing process and how he created the Lord of the Rings from the horrors of World War I, as we were talking about. Or it could be just one of those thrown together, schmaltzy, contrived, nonsensical biographies.
Right, you guys like this guy. Here's a movie about him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It really feels like, I feel like it's not going to be in the middle.
It's like the bad kind. Yeah. That's why I was like, I don't know that I'll, but here's the good news. You guys will see it, I won't have to.
Yeah,
and then you'll tell me
we'll
about
talk about it next week.
I'm worried too that it's going to be a tapestry of biopic cliches.
Yeah, it really, I'm hoping it isn't, but it's certainly in the realm of possibility. And I don't think it's going to be a middle ground. I think it's going to be like awful or like really cool.
It'd be nice if it were really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's hope for it.
And then Pokemon Detective Pikachu. I am unrealistically excited to see this movie.
Oh, Christopher.
Oh, Unicorn Store. Terrible.
Can we have a Maze Runner on our hands?
I might be. I don't know. But, you know, Ryan Reynolds playing Pikachu. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'll be seeing it with or without the kids this weekend. I don't know which it's going to be. But they are adorable.
I'm excited for your despondent review next year.
Yeah.
But, I wanted so much.
It's one of those tough weekends. I kind of want to see Tolkien too. So I don't know. I have the possibility and the opportunity to maybe disappointed twice.
I think for me, this Pokemon movie is going to be your samurai Batman movie.
It could be.
Where I literally was shaking. I was so excited for it and was so bummed out. It was so disappointing.
I was sitting on this movie just drawn toward and rejecting the draw of Bumblebee over and over and over again, because I wanted to watch Bumblebee, but I couldn't watch Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to watch... I've seen all the Transformer movies. They're all dumb and cars turn into robots. And,
okay.
They're horrible. Now, I will say this. Bumblebee is by far the best one.
What?
Yes.
Chris Mancini.
Yes.
Bumblebee apologist.
Yes. But again, because it's not directed by Michael Bay. It's directed by Travis Knight, who did, Kubo and the Two Strings, and his studio did Coraline and all those cool movies. And
so there's hope.
Oh, it was really, it was good.
So it's
it
worth
was,
the back of a chair on an airplane,
yes,
is what you're telling
absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely. Okay. You know, it's a throwback to the 80s Transformers that we grew up with. Yeah. And
while you read, just glance
that's
up.
How I like to, that's how I like to watch a movie on the back
so,
of a chair.
So for sure. You will not be disappointed if you watch it that way.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's like a baseball game.
And,
just have it on the back.
On my second flight, I'll play it again and I'll say, Garçon, I would like some headphones.
Yes.
There you go.
And if you can get past, the robots having better acting performances than John Cena, then, you can also enjoy the film.
Yeah. I tried.
I would expect that.
Yes. Yeah.
I tried to watch Axel again.
It's not a surprise.
What's Jackie?
And, let me tell you something.
What are you doing?
The kids. Yeah. These are my imaginary friends from when I was little. They're now a movie.
Yeah.
There's a robot murder dog.
Some type of intervention needs to take place?
It's on my phone.
Oh, Jackie.
I doubt it.
Jacqueline,
you had weird imaginary friends if one was a robot murder dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much. It wasn't a murder dog.
Yeah.
It was a robot dog. Yeah. No, it wasn't even a robot. Anyway.
Did you have a candy spy helicopter too?
I want one now. Who doesn't want a candy spy helicopter?
Where can I get the candy spy helicopter? We're going to be selling those on the site soon, guys.
We'll
so just
them.
Go to come to autograph candies. Yeah.
Kickstarter.
Holy shit, this was almost a 2-hour episode.
I know, it was crazy. I was like, oh yeah, this would be great. We'll only do one episode, get out of here. Nope.
Nope.
Nope, 2 hours.
Chewing up to the afternoon.
My God, I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Jackie Cation, where can people find you? Telling jokes on stage, murder dogging, what are you
going
to be?
I am going to be opening for Maria Bamford, if it all still works out.
The Bamber.
In next weekend at Portland's Helium Comedy Company, or Helium whatever.
Great club.
In Portland, Oregon. And then... I think I'm at Rooster Tea Feathers, and May's full of stuff. June's full of stuff. Go to JackieCation.com and look at my schedule, and you will enjoy that.
Excellent. And listen to The Dork Forest.
Listen to The Dork Forest.
Also then, on ATC.
Also on All Things Comedy, The Dork Forest. And then Jackie and Laurie Show on Max Fun, where we bitch about stand-up comedy.
Nice.
And celebrate it. Mm-hmm. Celebrate and bitch. Laurie Kilmartin.
That's what stand-up comedy... That's what you can do with it.
Yes.
Celebrate and bitch about it in the same sentence.
Yep.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. That's an hour.
Same thing people do with Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I realized I recently why I didn't like Game of Thrones. They're hiding a political thriller behind that dragon, and I don't want any part of it.
You know, I did put on Twitter, though, sometimes a show about dragons is just a show about dragons.
I put on Twitter, 60% of the internet is for Game of Thrones and bacon, and I don't like either one of these, so the internet isn't for me.
It gets real dirty right around 80%, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you stick it out.
So Graham, what do you have coming up?
Progressive Comedy Tour going to the East Coast, June 12th through the 19th. We are going to D.C., Baltimore, Philly for two nights, New Haven, Connecticut, New York City, and Boston. Go to GrahamElwood.com for all of my tour dates.
All right, check out. And when I mentioned Long Ago and Far Away has now dropped with Starburns Press, so you can get it on Comixology, only $1.99 an issue. And the last episode of Conversations from the Abyss has also dropped with Mark Agliardi, Hal Lublin, and Rick Overton. It's a really fun one. It's got a lot of audio effects in it, and it's about a grieving man who befriends a ghost in a graveyard. So check it out. Please do. And also check out the Comedy Film Nerd store and the Patreon and all those good things.
Great ways to support the show. Jackie mm-hmm. Cation, always wonderful to have you here. Thank you for bringing your vast Marvel knowledge to us.
My random political rage. Thanks for having me, guys.
I had to start my own YouTube channel because I kept hijacking the show with my random
I was trying to get it back on track. I'm like, oh, would he just do his own YouTube channel about this?
Graham, go over there and yell.
But, you know, today was appropriate. We were talking about
a political movie. Yeah. So we can, mm-hmm. Then I can shoehorn my nonsense into it. Aaron, thank you for everything you do. And
all of it, Aaron. All of it, Aaron.
We really appreciate it. I know this past weekend was a little hard. It's a long season, dude. A lot of baseball left to be played. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.